is Monday, February 17th, 2014, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, we learn more about long-term care insurance. This can help cover long-term skilled nursing care that is sometimes needed by the elderly. Plus, a local pastor discusses his new book and how new media and faith intersect. Also, we have the latest installment of Arkansongs. Roby Brock from Talk Business Arkansas has his weekly business news recap and more. But first, 2014 marks the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which officially ended the era of legal segregation in public places. Although the Civil Rights Act dramatically changed life in the United States, Governor Mike Beebe said in his weekly radio address, there is still room for improving equality among the nation's diverse races and ethnicities. The governor also said, much like 50 years ago, the strongest agents of social change are often young people.
While formal change continues through legal and legislative action, our younger generations are also more connected than ever before through technology and social media. While these platforms sometimes expose continued examples of prejudice and hate, they also show how our country keeps moving closer to becoming the nation we set out to be, a place where all men and women are deemed to be created equal. But even as technology advances, some of our most traditional morals remain a guide. Often it all comes down to treating others the way we want to be treated ourselves.
Governor Beebe urged Arkansans to rededicate themselves to bringing about greater unity and fair treatment within our communities and country. The Washington County Fire Marshal today has issued a red flag fire warning effective immediately. According to the Washington County Sheriff's Office, the fire marshal discourages any outdoor burning until conditions improve, as fires could start and spread rapidly. As of this morning, Madison and Franklin counties were the only counties in the state to have outright burn bans in place. For the first time in 88 years, a member of the Allen family will not be running Siloam Springs-based Allen's Canning Company. Current CEO Josh Allen will be stepping away from the family business as a result of the company's pending sale to Sager Creek Acquisition. Pending the sale, Chris Kaiser will be taking the helm of Allen's. Kaiser is currently the chief executive and founder of Linwick Partners, a Dallas-based consumer goods company. Kaiser also has prior experience in the food business, having served as a vice president for Campbell Soup Company and a nearly seven-year stint as executive vice president of sales at Pinnacle Food. Kaiser also spent 3 years as president of Advance Pierre Foods, overseeing the company's retail and food service business. A new report by the City Wire suggests that the political labeling of Arkansas's private option expansion of Medicaid has much to do with the plan's support among voters. According to the report, a recent Talk Business Hendricks College poll suggests that 47.5% of likely Arkansas voters are in favor of the legislature continuing the private option past this year, while 32.5% are in favor of terminating the program. But in another poll conducted last week by Little Rock-based Impact Management Group, fewer survey respondents supported the private option when a connection was made between it and the federal health care overhaul. In the Impact Management Group poll, only 35% of respondents voiced support for the private option, while 39% of those polled opposed the state's federally funded plan for Medicaid expansion. As state offices are closed today in observance of President's Day, a vote on amendments to this year's appropriation for the private option won't happen until tomorrow at the earliest. The Fayetteville Parks and Recreation Department will break ground on its first community orchard later this week. The event will be Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock at the Yvonne Richardson Community Center. According to the city, the orchard is meant to serve as a community resource through the fall harvest, work days, and other educational opportunities. The groundbreaking will also include a workshop regarding the planting and first year of care for fruit trees and will result in the planting of 12 fruit trees in the orchard. The University of Arkansas in Fayetteville has again been named one of the more military-friendly schools in the U.S. BestColleges.com ranked the U of A 24th on the site's list of top 50 U.S. colleges for veterans. The publication noted that the college's Veterans Resource and Information Center helps the university meet the needs of veteran students by taking an individualized approach to counseling and academic assistance. The publication also noted that the Student Veteran Organization and the Alumni Student Veterans also help provide transition services for both veterans and current service members enrolled at the U of A. The Razorback baseball team had a clean sweep during its season opener this weekend. The 25th-ranked Razorbacks defeated Appalachian State in all three games of the weekend series. Yesterday's 8-3 win also marked the 2,000th victory in Razorback baseball history. Arkansas returns to Baum Stadium Friday for a three-game weekend series against Eastern Illinois. Mostly clear tonight with lows from 29 in northwest Arkansas to 35 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, expect sunny skies with highs from 64 to 69. Mostly clear tomorrow night with lows from 37 to 43 degrees. This is Ozarks at Large. We purchase auto, home, and health insurance, but what about coverage for when we are old and frail and require long-term skilled nursing care, which can be very expensive? Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports.
More than half of all American seniors will need some level of skilled nursing care as they age, which can quickly drain financial resources and treasured assets. So one solution: purchase long-term care insurance, preferably when you are younger, as a hedge. Dan Honey is Deputy Commissioner of the Compliance Division at the Arkansas Insurance Department.
And it's not really health insurance, but it is used when you become incapacitated and are unable to perform certain aspects of daily living. For example, you're no longer able to keep your house clean, to clothe yourself, to cook, to use the bathroom on your own, some of these things. And you can have, and it pays a daily amount of money for care, either in your home or in a private nursing home.
Lots of us put away money into our retirement accounts, not touching it for decades. But few of us think about investing in long-term care insurance products. One reason? Maybe because few insurance agents in Arkansas sell it, with national vendors filling that void.
The primary sellers are probably John Hancock, Genworth. I think maybe MetLife is still in the business. Those are some of that have some of the most market share, and there are probably as many as, I'd say, in the whole state there may be 10,000 policies sold in the whole state.
Still, 10,000 Arkansans have purchased long-term care insurance, with 20 million nationwide. According to the American Association for Long-Term Care Insurance, the industry trade group, and AALTCI cites the average price for a comprehensive policy for someone age 55 paying into the system can cost between $1,500 and $4,000 per year, depending upon the level of care you seek.
The barrier is cost, because long-term care premiums are not inexpensive, and you really kind of have a gap. You have, folks that spend down all of their assets, get so sick and they can't work, and they spend all of their money. They end up in Medicaid. And, of course, people at the very much higher end of the spectrum, they can finance their own care. These policies, the market is right in the middle, but a lot of the premiums on these types of policies have really risen because the cost of the care has actually gone up.
Skilled nursing home care can cost more than $50,000 per year, Honey says. But insurance products that cover it can vary, some kicking in only after a certain period or lasting for only a certain duration. Then there's a lapse rate. Most people who purchase these long-term care products will redeem them, experts say. So cash reserves within the industry are not so robust, causing rates to spike. At some point, the Fed may step in to help, and states are taking measures, but nothing is in motion in Arkansas.
We're kind of watching what the NAIC is doing. The NAIC is the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. And because of this this issue in the long-term care industry of long-term care rates escalating the way they are. I mean, we get filings. Companies file continuously asking for, you know, 50, 60, 70% rate increases because they are projecting to have a lot more losses than they have premiums. Of course, we are not in a position. You know, it's our job to protect the public. So we try to minimize those rate increases to the single digits or low double digits whenever possible. So that there's a lot of model legislation on the national level that is being contemplated to address some of these rating issues, and we're following those. But at this point, we are not really planning to propose anything.
There's also the myth that if you spend down your assets, Medicare will cover your nursing home, assisted living, or home health care. Wrong.
Here's the thing. For anyone who has Medicare, if you get to the point where you cannot take care of yourself, you know, you're not sick enough to stay in the hospital, but you're not really able to go home, Medicare will pay for long-term care or custodial care or sometimes they call it a rehabilitation for a 20-day benefit period. With no cost to you. And then from 21 to 100 days, they will pay for your coinsurance, I think 20% coinsurance, where you would be responsible for 20% and they would take care of the rest. But after 100 days, the 100 days of the benefit period, you are on your own. And that's when you would need the long-term care policy to kick in if you had one. Now, if you don't have a long-term care policy, what would happen is that, and you were in a nursing home or had to have in-home care, you would be responsible for paying for all of that until you spent down all of your assets. And at that time, you would be eligible for Medicaid, which is the state/federal plan, which would pay for it. But of course, at that time also, Medicaid, you don't have a choice as to where you can go. Medicaid is not going to pay for your nicest nursing facilities and the best care. Not probably as good as if you were able to get care on the private market.
Speaking of private, you can always opt to set aside money into a special account, self-funding your long-term care. But Dan Honey suggests seeking professional advice first.
Your financial professional, insurance professional, and also with maybe an elder care lawyer to make plan. You know, when you're still, and of course, long-term care policy is a part of this. But you know, when you're still in good shape, and if you want to maybe provide for your family and leave them some money when you're gone, it's a good idea to get with professionals and plan for this.
The Arkansas Insurance Department has a Senior Health Insurance Information Program, SHIP, funded by U.S. Centers for Medicaid and Medicare, which assists seniors and families with questions. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
To learn more, you can visit insurance.arkansas.gov or call 800-224-6330. You can also find more information at longtermcare.gov.
Jazz is in the air every Friday and Saturday evening from 10 p.m. till 1 a.m. right here on KUAF 91.3 FM. From 10 to midnight, it's Shades of Jazz with yours truly, Robert Ginsberg. Daniel Estes takes you from midnight till 1 a.m. on Saturday morning with Goodnight Jazz, and it's Fred Hall's Swing Thing at midnight on Sundays. America's Music, Jazz, on your NPR station KUAF.
Coming up in the second half hour of today's show, we talk to a Lutheran pastor about religion expanding beyond the walls of a church.
From a Christian perspective, what builds up would be like strengthening bonds, cultivating conversation that's beautiful and healthy and all those kinds of things. And definitely, I would say that our group on Facebook does that. People post prayer requests, and then if they're in a lot of pain, they'll see colleagues come in and really offer them a word of comfort. Or if something really tragic has happened in somebody's lives, they might even start organizing some kind of material assistance or help in that way.
That story is coming up later on Ozarks at Large. Right now, Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas has the details about recent hirings and firings from around the state.
Home Depot said it will hire 270 employees in Little Rock as part of an 80,000 nationwide hiring spree. The Atlanta-based home improvement chain said that it expects a big uptick in business this spring. About 125 employees at StarTech Call Center in Jonesboro will be laid off as the company closes its operations on May 12th. Company officials characterized the call center closing as a, quote, strategic business decision. StarTech opened the center in 2008 and has ratcheted down its operations in 2012 before the latest round of layoffs. Pediatrics Plus said it will establish a new state-of-the-art facility in Russellville in order to expand its services. Pediatrics Plus is undergoing a $4 million acquisition and renovation of a 23,000 square foot space. Additionally, Pediatrics Plus will hire 50 new jobs in the region. USA Truck recorded a fourth quarter loss of $4.6 million, including one-time charges of about $1.5 million that were related to a hostile takeover bid. 1 year ago, USA Truck posted a $3.2 million loss during the quarter. Overall, for the full year, USA Truck saw its net loss shrink to $9.1 million. That is down from $17.6 million in 2012. The Arkansas Agriculture Hall of Fame will induct six new members on March 7th. Joining the distinguished club are former Congressman Marion Barry, O.H. Doogie Darling, Leroy Isbell, Reuben Johnson, Keith Lesby, and Keith Smith. In politics, it was a busy week at the state capitol as lawmakers debated potential changes to funding the private option. To renew the bipartisan health care plan, funding must pass with a 75% vote in both chambers of the General Assembly. Debate will continue next week. Congressman Tim Griffin says he'll enter the Republican primary for lieutenant governor as he leaves Congress. Griffin announced he wouldn't seek a third term in Washington earlier last year. Also, former GOP gubernatorial candidate Deborah Hobbs said she would also pivot to the lieutenant governor's race, abandoning her run for governor. Representative Charlie Collins, a Republican from Fayetteville, said he'll drop out of the lieutenant governor's race and seek re-election to his House seat. Republican Representative Andy Mayberry and Democrat John Burkhalter remain candidates in the lieutenant governor's race. I'm Roby Brock, and that is your Talk Business Arkansas update.
Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by AT&T. Encouraging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. It is Monday, February 17th, 2014, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
I love my job.
Why? Why did it? I know there's plenty of reasons, but give me one today.
Because I got to talk to the coolest lady named Sherry Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
She's the children's librarian for the Washington County Library System.
Okay.
She puts together the Rural Story Times.
Mm-hmm.
15-week series, and this time she'll listen to insects, taste things that are yummy and yucky, touch hot and cold things, and smell popcorn, skunk, pizza, and dirty socks.
Some of those things sound okay. Some of them do not. I don't know
Some
about
of them
skunks.
Sound like fun. She starts with the books and ends up at 7 small-town libraries across Washington County. So she's in a van for 30 weeks a year. 2 15-week story time series. And she brings all the activities for the event. They used to do, when it was the Ozarks Regional Library System, they used to also go to Van Buren, Cedarville, Alma, and other River Valley towns.
Quite the trip.
Yeah, she said it was, quote, pretty intense. But this still sounds overwhelming. She pulls like 20 books for each story time session. This theme is science sense. And then picks out the one she wants to read aloud, does the felt board stories and an art activity and a song. And the kids love it.
Sounds like fun.
So here's the schedule. Through May 15th, Farmington Public Library at 9:30 on Mondays. Prairie Grove Public Library at 11 on Mondays. West Fork Public Library at 10 on Tuesdays. Winslow Branch Library at noon on Tuesdays. Greenland Branch Library at 8:45 a.m. on Thursdays, and the Elkins Public Library at 10:30 on Thursdays, and it's all free. Again, that's through May 15th.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life.
Oh, my God.
One thing I really like in a radio story.
What's back there?
Nothing. It looks empty.
No, there's someone living back there.
He's a mystery.
I'm not going back there.
There's somebody's hair. There's a head in there.
There's a shrunken head right there.
Mysteries explained each week. This American Life.
It's Santa Claus. Resident Evil.
Listen to This American Life Sundays at 10 a.m. on KUAF.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkan Songs.
And I rode a night, tumbling and I cried the whole night long. And I rode a night, tumbling and I cried the whole night long. And I rode this morning, Mama, and I didn't know right from wrong.
Bluesman Hambone Willie Newbern was born in 1899. He's said to have lived in Brownsville, Tennessee, just a few dozen miles west of the Arkansas state line. Like so many blues musicians of the first half of the 20th century, Newbern played parties, joints, and clubs in the tri-state area of Tennessee, Mississippi, and Arkansas. Hambone Willie Newbern recorded at just one known session in Atlanta, Georgia, on March 13, 1929. Most notably, Newbern recorded the earliest known version of the blues standard Rollin' and Tumblin', though it was a song that was likely already a standard at the time. Newbern called the song Rollin' Tumble Blues.
And I pulled my arm, Lord, and I walked away. And I pulled my arms and I slowly walked away. And that's all right, sweet mama, yo, trouble gonna come someday. Way down yonder, I know, Arkansas, where you find it to begin the struggle. Can hear the roots crowing about the break of day. Oh, yeah, the living in the newborn hay. That's where my great-grandma first met up with the great-grandpa. Well, they settled down together. How they love each other. Way down in Arkansas.
Little detail is really known about the life of Hambone Willie Newbern, but Newbern played in, wrote about, and died in East Arkansas. In the 1920s and 1930s, he played with James Yank Rochelle and Sleepy John Estes, two giants of the early blues and ragtime-style hokum music. In fact, Newbern was said to have taught Sleepy John to play guitar, with that especially the background on Newbern given by Sleepy John Estes, who was born near Newbern's hometown in Ripley, Tennessee. Even less will be known about Hambone Willie Newbern.
So you're talking about
talk about your fly deacon. That was one from my home. He done got pissed about all the good looking women. What did he say? I'm gonna leave all the men they alone.
Hambone Willie Newbern apparently recorded only 6 tracks in total at his single known session. All 3 Hambone Willie Newbern 78 singles were released on OK Records of New York. Way Down in Arkansas, Rollin' Tumble Blues, She Could Toodaloo, Nobody Knows What the Good Deacon Does, Dreamy Eyed Woman Blues, and Shelby County Workhouse. The latter mentions the town of Mark Tree in northeast Poinsett County, Arkansas, in addition to Tennessee's Shelby County. Hambone Willie Newbern was said to have played the medicine show circuit, and Newbern's songs like She Could Toodaloo and Nobody Knows What the Good Deacon Does seem to reflect that tradition.
I was one old brother by the name of Moe. Got so happy, pull off all of his clothes. He was quiet. Nobody knew what the good digging did. Lord, it was the lights was out. And I ain't no fortune teller, but a clown. I know just what I'm talking about. That was one old sister by the name of Yearn. Shame to tell your brother what that sister was doing. Shh, nobody knows what a good he was doing. Lord, watch the lights was out.
Newbern also wrote more serious lyrics in the songs Hambone Willie's Dreamy Eyed Woman Blues and Shelby County Workhouse Blues. Said to be a hot-tempered man, Hambone Willie Newbern was reportedly beaten to death in a brawl behind bars in 1947 in Marvel, Arkansas, in Phillips County.
I left from Memphis, Tennessee, on my way back to dear old Mark Tree. I'm out of the gumbo mud, baby, since jam up paper of my knees.
Hambone Willie Newbern's song Rolling and Tumbling has been a blues standard for generations, adapted by other pre-war blues artists like his guitar pupil Sleepy John Estes, Charlie Patton, and Robert Johnson, and later covered by Muddy Waters, Elmore James, John Lee Hooker, Sonny Land Slim, and others, and by such rockers as Canned Heat, Johnny Winter, Eric Clapton, and Bob Dylan. In fact, you could say Rolling and Tumbling is a single aspect of the shadowy life of blues man Hambone Willie Newbern that's not obscure.
I left old Mark Tree, going back to Memphis, Tennessee. And I left old Mark Tree on my way back to Memphis, Tennessee. No sooner I got at the bus station, Lord, the police arrested me.
Here in its entirety is Hambone Willie Newbern, who played in, wrote about, and died in East Arkansas with the song Way Down in Arkansas from 1929.
Way down yonder, Arkansas, where you find it to begin the snow. Can hear the roots crowing about the break of day. Oh, hear the living in the newborn hay. There's where my great-grandma first met up with her great-grandpa. Well, they settled down together. How they love each other. Way down in Arkansas, where you find it again, the straw. Can hear the roosters crowing about the break of day. Oh, yeah, the littering in the newborn hay. That's where my great grandma was met up with red grandpa. Well, they settled down together. How they joy with each other. Way down in Arkansas. I can hear the ducky moaning at the old barn door. You can see the ladies tipping across the kitchen floor. When you get your coffee, it'll be all day. See the turkey slipping out through the hyena. Way down yonder, Arkansas, where you find it to the end of the store. Now when you make your money, when you see your home,
down yonder, no often so, where you find it to end us though. Can you hear the roosters crowing about the break of day? Old tank is slipping out the newborn hay. That's why my mother-in-law voice met up with brother-in-law. Well, we went around the killer, how we joe each other, way down in Arkansas.
Way Down in Arkansas, recorded in March 1929 by Hambone Willie Newbern. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
Arkansongs is a production of KUAR and Experiment Station Studios. Associate producer is Keith Merks. For more information, go to arkansongs.org. Arkansongs, since 1998.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Tomorrow evening, Bentonville High School will be presented with the Army National Guard National Ranking Trophy as part of the 9th annual Max Preps Football Tour of Champions. Bentonville finished number 95 in the final rankings and is one of 50 schools being honored on this season's tour. The presentation will be made during halftime of the boys' varsity basketball game. The game starts at 7:30 tomorrow night inside Bentonville High School's gymnasium. After losing two of its first three games, Bentonville won 10 straight contests, including a hard-fought 39-28 victory over number 39 Cabot on December 13th to claim the Arkansas 7A state championship. It was the Tigers' first title since 2010 and their fourth overall. Bentonville is one of 50 schools being honored on the ninth tour. Max Preps ranks more than 16,000 varsity high school football teams, and this marks the second time Bentonville has been selected to the tour. The University of Arkansas Libraries will host a series of foreign language films on the theme of crazy love. Amour Fou in February features the French New Wave films Breathless and 400 Blows, and Amour Loco in April features two films from Spanish director Pedro Almodóvar, All About My Mother and The Skin I Live In. The films will be screened in the Mullins Library Room 104, all on Tuesday nights and all beginning at 7 p.m. Admission is free and open to the public. The first film, Breathless, will be shown tomorrow evening. For more, you can visit libinfo.uark.edu. The Chancellor's Commission on Women is hosting a campus safety presentation at noon Wednesday in rooms 507 and 508 in the Arkansas Union. The event will provide women with practical strategies to increase their preparedness for a variety of situations. Director Steve Gahagans and Captain Catherine Hudler of the University of Arkansas Police Department will be presenting. The presentation will last an hour, and all students, faculty, and staff are invited to attend. Guests can bring their own bag lunch and drink for this event. Appointed by the Chancellor in 2010, the Commission on Women has a primary mission to be an advocate for the interest of the entire community of women at the University of Arkansas, including undergraduate and graduate students, faculty, administrators, and both classified and non-classified staff. The Commission comprises appointed members from all members of the U of A community. For more, please visit uawomen.uark.edu. This is Ozarks at Large. Social media, digital platforms, and the web have altered virtually everything, commerce, communication, and media included. Clint Schneckloth is the lead pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Fayetteville. You can find him other places besides the church, on Facebook, at his blog, on Twitter, or in the virtual world, Second Life. He's written a new book about how new media and faith intersect called Mediating Faith, Faith Formation in a Transmedia Era. He'll discuss the book Saturday night at 6 at Nightbird Books in Fayetteville. In the first pages of the book, he describes a spiritual experience involving prayer. It's only after the description that he reveals the prayer took place in a virtual world. Pastor Clint Schneckloth recently talked to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums about the book.
I can also call a group of people, although we don't typically do this in my church because it's not a habit of Lutherans to pray the daily offices per se. I could call up a group of people from my church and say, let's start doing Compline, like what I describe in the book that I pray on Second Life, and we could do it in real body. You know, we could get together at the church and do it. But for whatever reason, that technology, which is more of like a procedural community way of mediating faith, has fallen by the wayside. People don't want to go out of the house in the evening, or that's not what they want to leave the house in the evening to go do. But I can get on Second Life, as what you brought up from the book. And there are people in these digitally mediated contexts who share a common value. They want to pray together, and you can do it in a really kind of realistic way. You know, it's on a laptop screen and headphones in. Mm-hmm. But the experience is often really close to what you'd experience going to a Compline service at a church.
And no less spiritual for some.
No, and actually more spiritual for some. When I first started exploring Second Life especially, I first actually learned of it. I think I remember it coming out or rolling out at one point. Lyndon, the guy who developed Second Life, is kind of this relatively famous video game developer. And I remember when it rolled out. But what really first awakened me to it is I read this little book by Douglas Estes called Sim Church. And he explored Second Life. And what he found was that the people who really their lives were changed by Second Life were people for whom coming in real body was some kind of barrier to church. Examples would be like somebody who has Tourette's. Or social anxiety, or is handicapped and can't get to the building, or is excluded from real body worship for some way or for some reason. And so then they go to Second Life and they can bracket out those things that might be disruptive of worship, like Tourette's, you know, could be disruptive, or they might feel it's going to be disruptive of a community that they would gather with, or if they're a really strong example in Second Life is you're a gay youth in a rural small town somewhere out west, and you can't go to your church because they kicked you out, but you can go on Second Life.
You still have strong faith.
Yeah. So you can get on Second Life and you can find a community of people who is affirming and welcoming of you, and that you can gather together with and pray together with. And so when you go to some of these places, you'll find you don't always know whether people are dealing with those things because they'll take on another avatar in Second Life. And so you don't know necessarily if they're blind or deaf or whatever. But the way that Second Life works is it allows for different ways of participating. So you can participate exclusively through moving your avatar around and typing. So like if you can't hear, then you don't have to worry about the audio side of things. But there's also a way to turn on, like, you know, your microphone and speak audio with people. And other people do that but won't type because they're physically unable to do that. And that's only one percentage of the community. It's not obviously everybody that's on there that is.
Sure. Well, you use the word avatar. And for some people, that boy, they don't want to talk about that because that's getting away from real life. And that's now you've limited your real social interaction. But you point out, we kind of all have our own avatars even when we're looking at each other face to face.
Absolutely. You and I both decided what clothes to put on to wear to this conversation right now.
Right.
And if we would have shown up with certain kinds of clothes, we would have had really different, you know, perceptions of each other.
I did not expect you to be in a zoot suit.
Right.
That would have, which he is not, ladies and gentlemen, but that would have completely altered. Right?
Absolutely. And I think we do forget, and perhaps that's one of the things that Second Life or these other avatar type contexts remind us of, is we're always presenting ourselves. And so you have, and we present differently in different places. So I have an avatar that I put on for church and another avatar that I put on at home. Most of us do. And a lot of times those avatars are pretty closely integrated with who we think of as our, you know, natural self or whatever. But in another sense, they're different personas, faces.
Sure. You write about Facebook, and you started a Facebook page for members of the clergy of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, ELCA.
Yes.
And it's interesting, you know, you invited a few dozen, and then you saw it grow. And as it grew, people decided what would they talk about and what would they not talk about on this Facebook page. And that was very interesting to have that conversation.
Yeah. Well, that was really a crazy event. I had been playing around with different kinds of technology within the Facebook platform for a while, and that was right at the time when they made the transition, which this is going to be like old now to some people, but they went from old groups to new groups. And old groups, you could only add people, and then they had to approve being added to a group, and then they would be in. And that structure, groups didn't get very large. And then they shifted to this new groups where any of your friends that you wanted to add to the group, you could. And so I just publicized to the people I added, which was, maybe 30 other clergy. And I was kind of strategic. You know, I picked like a friend in Seattle and a friend in D.C. and some friends in Minnesota and various places around the country and added them and then said, hey, why don't you add some of your colleagues? And it exploded. We had over 1,200 members in the group on the first day. It was, and now there's 5,200 clergy in the ELCA clergy group, which is over half of the active clergy of our denomination.
Wow.
Are in that Facebook group. And I didn't really know how we would use it, but I started realizing as it was growing, clearly at least among our clergy, there was real desire to connect. And some other ways of connecting maybe weren't as helpful to them or whatever. And so this pattern, this way of connecting, they found really, really helpful. Maybe it's partially the size and partially the, you know, national character of it, that it covers the whole. But like a really great example would be right now. I just posted a question yesterday in the group because I have this coming up, you know, in our season. I just asked, what does Lent do?
Simple question. I mean, simply put question.
Yeah, real simple.
Yeah.
And so far, there's 80 responses. And they're really, most of them are, many of them anyway, are short, but also equally thoughtful. Like, reminds us that we are hungry and cold, was what one pastor posted. Another pastor just posted one word, recalibrates. Hmm. And it's kind of cascading down. And I'm of a mind to ask permission of the group if I can just capture all those little phrases and then make a little poster that says, like, what does Lent do? And then, but it's also helping me prepare as a leader to lead us through the Lenten season again and help me remind me of some of the wider senses of what Lent does or means within Christian community. And everybody else who's reading that thread and participating in it is getting that same kind of learning, growth, challenge, whatever it is that's happening as you're in that conversation.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds as though new media or transmedia times or whatever, however we would summarize this, can actually strengthen one, or at least help strengthen one's faith.
I think for sure. Obviously, there's the thing about media is that you can use it for
sure
a lot of different purposes. So like going back to Second Life, there are other kinds of communities in Second Life that I don't think it would be healthy to be a part of. Similarly, on Facebook, you could join a Facebook group that it could have an unhealthy character to it. But if you attend to how you're using that social media and it's in ways that build you up or build a community up in, this could be subjective, right? So we could end up in a debate about what counts as being, you know, building people up versus
right.
tearing them down or whatever. But at least from a Christian perspective, what builds up would be like strengthening bonds, cultivating conversation that's beautiful and healthy and all those kinds of things. And definitely, I would say that our group on Facebook does that. It people post prayer requests, and then if they're in a lot of pain, they'll see colleagues come in and really offer them a word of comfort. Or if something really tragic has happened in somebody's lives, they might even start organizing some kind of material assistance or help in that way. And our own church Facebook group is like that also. One of the most interesting things about groups on Facebook is you might think of them when you first form them as a kind of an old school broadcast medium. So you think like, oh, I started this group so that I can tell my members that we have an event on Thursday night that you should come to.
Right.
And you can use it for that. But the one what gets the most energy in the group is the stuff that's like personal and relational. Like, who do you recommend as an electrician? I'm new to Fayetteville, and you'll get like 15 responses. Or if a person at the university, one of our faculty members, we have a number of faculty at our church, gets a major award and somebody posts a link to the UARC website, you'll get like 40 likes.
Right.
Everybody's like, oh, you know. So yeah, it adds this kind of ambient thing to our act, to the you know, physical community that also gathers. It can be really upbuilding.
Well, tell me about Miroslav Tweedy.
Ah, yeah. Well, I was doing this. It started out as I was kind of connecting with Second Life in order to do some research for the book, and you know, you kind of got to look around. There's a lot of different massively multiplayer online role-playing games that you can potentially get into and get involved in. Some of them have paywalls, so then it's a little like, are you going to commit the financial resources to play, like World of Warcraft or that Star Wars one that came out? Second Life is kind of nice in that, number one, it's not completely a game. It's more of like a Second Life, and you can play games in it if you go to certain portions, but it's free to just get in and mess around. And so that was a great starting place for me. So I created an avatar who is named after one of my favorite theologians, Miroslav Volf, and one of my favorite rock musicians, Jeff Tweedy. And I just, you know, put the two together and ended up with Miroslav Tweedy. And I really mostly go on at this point still to pray. So he has a monastic, kind of a long flowing old Catholic outfit. There's probably some fancy word. There's a word that's fancier than cassock for it, probably, but I can't remember what it is. And it's cool because when you fly, you look like Keanu Reeves from The Matrix when he's flying around in his like black jacket, right? And so that's kind of fun and fitting somehow, I guess. And so I've just kept that. People really are, depends on who you are, but some of the builders in Second Life really can, they can like morph their clothes and do all kinds of neat things with their avatars and whatever. And I'm a much lower end user than that, you know. But there's a kind of a community there of people who are trying to host space for Christian community in Second Life. So there's like, you can go to discussion groups, but you can even go to, they're on a break right now, but there's a Lutheran pastor from Minnesota who would offer a weekly Bible study. He'd sit out on the beach with all these avatars.
That's in Second Life, yeah.
In Second Life, yeah. He had built kind of like a, you know, a beach house, and you go and you sit in the beach house, and there's a fire in the middle of it, and you're looking out over the ocean, and there's the sounds of the waves. And
really, I've never been to Second Life, so you're getting that audio as well.
Oh, everything, yeah. It's a three-dimensional visual space, and you can set, whoever builds the space can set all of the kind of the ambient stuff. So there could be like background music, like you're walking through the mall, or mm-hmm. it could be real ambient sounds in the sense of like what that environment looks like. You know, if there's a waterfall, then you'd hear a waterfall, or if there's a volcano, you'd hear periodic explosions in the background or whatever. You can build it however you want.
You mentioned Jeff Tweedy. You play something that predates any of most of what we've been talking about. You play the guitar, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes at your service?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I saw recently you had a Facebook post. You were wondering on Facebook whether you should play the Lucinda Williams recording of Blessed or whether you should play it yourself.
Yep. And I ended up definitely covering it myself. Yeah. In that case, I integrated the song into the sermon. We have a great worship band. We have a lot of different kinds of music at our church. We've got a wonderful organist and
Bob Mueller.
Yeah. And he hosts and organizes a lot of great music for our what we call our traditional services. And then for our contemporary service, we've got this band. Does a great job. But then if I'm preparing a sermon, sometimes I'll also add some other stuff in. And that Lucinda Williams Blessed is just like an amazing reflection on who's blessed and how we're blessed by them. It's a great song.
Clint Schneckloth is the lead pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Fayetteville and author of the new book, Mediating Faith, Faith Formation in a Transmedia Era. He'll talk about the book Saturday evening at 6 at Nightbird Books in Fayetteville. You can read more from him at his blog, lutheranconfessions.blogspot.com. He talked to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums earlier this month.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, some networks are dropping some of their special Latino programming, but a professor says he can't find that in their regular broadcasts.
Latino issues and Latino stories do not surpass 1% the total news of any one of those networks.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
Here and Now coming up next here on KUAF 91.3 FM. A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Eagleton. In case you're not familiar, Eagleton is located just north of Mena in Polk County. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Thanks so much for listening. You can tune in tomorrow at noon for an all-new edition of Ozarks at Large. I will be back along with my co-host, Kyle Kellums. We're going to end today's show with some music by Joe Nichols. He is a Rogers native and a country music recording artist. Washington Regional Medical Foundation has announced that he will be the headlining performer at its 21st annual gala, which is set for April 8th at Walton Arts Center. Local country band Backroad Anthem will open. According to a release, the 2014 gala will benefit the development of a new state-of-the-art neurosurgical hybrid operating suite at Washington Regional Medical Center in Fayetteville to provide advanced treatment of brain disorders. Once the operating suite is completed and a specialty-trained team of endovascular neurosurgeons is on board later this year, Washington Regional will be the only hospital in the region and one of only a few in the nation to offer patients this minimally invasive, life-saving and timely procedures for the treatment of strokes and other neurological disorders. Ticket sales for balcony seating are open to the public and they go on sale in March. Balcony seating tickets, which include all performances and a pre-event reception, are $75 each. You can find out more at waltonartscenter.org. So here's Joe Nichols now with his song Sunny in 75 from his most recent album, Crickets. Thanks again for listening and have a happy President's Day.
A yellow two-piece, black Ray-Bans, your bare feet covered in sand, white jet trails across a blue sky, your ponytail showing off the sunshine like a postcard.